I'm going to steal Jamie's bit. What's up? That's right. It's me, Thomas Trance, all alone. Again, Jamie Dodd remaining day-to-day. Will it become week-to-week? Tune in tomorrow to find out. Jamie Dodd remains out with illness. We'll have him back shortly. So, I'm flying solo today on Canucks Talk. Canucks Talk to yourself. That's what the show is this week. Anyway, I'm excited to be here. We'll open the whiteboard shortly. But first, I want to remind you, not that you didn't know this, that I'm coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, is powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And as you well know, although I do have some programming booked for the balance of this show, great programming. It's going to be a very strong show, despite Jamie's absence, which we're definitely beginning to feel rather sorely. I will need your help to get through all four segments, all 2 hours, all one of today's show. So please text in and contribute by using the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Of course, our text line is brought to you by Dunbar Lumber. The Dunbar Lumber in Ladner, by the way, has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. All right, over the course of the show, by the way, we've got Vancouver Giants head coach Manny Viveros. We've also got Dmitry Filipovich joining us for the entirety of the second hour. So we'll unpack some of what we've seen. I think I'm going to do a whole segment on Pacific Division tiers, really drilling down on that, especially in the wake of a pretty thrilling Edmonton-Las Vegas game last night. And, of course, to set up tonight's Kings-Canucks tilt, let's get into that and so much more in the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Welcome to the whiteboard for Thursday, November 8th. This is our segment recapping everything that's up with the Vancouver Canucks. Let's begin with the headlines. The Vancouver Canucks are in Los Angeles at the Crypto.com Arena tonight to face the Los Angeles Kings. Now, the Kings are riding high. They're 3-0-1 across their last four games, a stretch that includes wins over the Vegas Golden Knights, over the Nashville Predators, and over the Minnesota Wild. That's pretty stiff competition when you consider sort of what teams are ascendant, what teams are playing imposing hockey and looking like top teams in the West in the early going. I think Minnesota and I think Vegas certainly qualify. And Nashville probably should, even though they clearly do not. The Kings are looking pretty strong this season. This is not the Kings team that we saw last year just sitting back and playing a 1-3-1, right? Like, this Kings team is getting up and going. They are playing pretty interesting hockey with a very, very strong 5-on-5 profile. Among the things that are going very, very right for the Los Angeles Kings in the early going, you've got this Gavrikov-Mikey Anderson pair, really fast, really responsible, really sharp. They've stepped up in a major way in the protracted absence of Kings defenseman Drew Doughty. And of course, Brant Clark has pitched in 12 points across 14 games, looking like a dynamic game breaker on the back end. We talked about it a lot in the lead up to this season, the idea that the Kings had some outs despite what's been a pretty dispiriting last like 18 months of team building from Rob Blake and the Kings organization, a group that I thought did a really smart job, a really sharp job reloading around Kopitar and Doughty, sort of for a couple years there. They kind of messed it up, but Clark and Byfield were always going to be sort of outs for them, right? They had at least the ability, if those guys leveled up and took a major step this season, to still be a really imposing team in the Pacific. And to this point in the season, I think they're kind of getting hits on both. Byfield's playing really well, especially at 5-on-5. They're controlling play pretty ably, outscoring their opponents in Byfield's minutes, even if the production hasn't leapt off the page just yet. And Brant Clark's almost point per game in Doughty's absence, 5 power play points in his 14 games. So watch out. This Kings team has a lot of speed on the back end, and they have the ability to hit you against the grain off the rush. Those are areas that the Canucks have struggled to manage when they've played teams like Carolina and like New Jersey. So this matchup We went into the season thinking, hey, the Canucks are probably in a different way, different sort of maybe the same tier, but are pretty decisively going to be better than the Kings. I still think that's fair, but I think it's shaping up to be maybe a little bit closer than I expected coming into the season, right? Like, I would have put the Kings sort of a tier down, and if the Kings can maintain the form that they've shown in the early going, if they can keep controlling play to the extent that they have 5-on-5, and if they keep getting steady star-level performances from the Brandt Clarks and Quentin Byfields of the world, they could be onto something. They could be onto something. For me, from a Canucks perspective, the Canucks, of course, are 2-0-0 on this California road trip, having rather thoroughly demolished the San Jose Sharks and the Anaheim Ducks. This is the test of the road trip. You know, you play poorly against Carolina and lose, albeit in overtime, grind out a point. Kudos to you. You get flattened, shellacked by the New Jersey Devils, and then you go out on this California swing, and the San Jose game, it wasn't an inspired performance, but it was an effective one. The Canucks got 2 points in the regulation victory, and then they absolutely manhandled the Anaheim Ducks, skated them off the ice at the Honda Center on election night earlier this week. Those are like tune-ups. Two consecutive get-right spots to prepare the Canucks for this game, and this game is interesting, and by the way, the one on the other side of it, since the Canucks will return home and then face the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, because look, this is it. These are the teams in the top half of the West of the Pacific Division, right? I know Calgary has been a nice early story, whatever. LA, Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver. That's the mix, okay? Canucks to this point in the season have played well, right? Solid point percentage. They're controlling play pretty well, 5-on-5. Inflated a little bit by the Anaheim numbers, but man, did that game do an awful lot to boost their sort of profile, their underlying profile. They were so dominant in it. But Vancouver's regulation wins have come against Anaheim and San Jose and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and a who's who of teams headed straight for the 2025 NHL draft lottery. Against really good teams, against teams that we look at on paper and say, hey, that's a tough opponent tonight. Tampa Bay, Florida, albeit without Barkov and Tkachuk, New Jersey, Carolina. Vancouver's performances have left us a little bit wanting. Now, I don't think there's anything structurally there necessarily. I also think you get credit for not playing down to your opponents and putting in professional performances the way the Canucks did in Anaheim on Tuesday. So, by no means am I trying to make a story out of nothing. I'm just saying this season exists on two paths. We've talked about this a lot. We'll continue to talk about this a lot. There's the path of there's the path we're used to. Are the Canucks a playoff team? Are they good? Right? What's going on? And in that path, this has been a good start to the season, right? The Canucks have amassed a good record. They're in really good position to potentially repeat at the absolute top of the Pacific Division. They're overwhelmingly likely to be a playoff team. They are trending in an exciting way, especially given some of the bodies that they may be able to get back here in the not-too-distant future. But there's another track, right? The other track is this team a Stanley Cup contender? And that's the one that matters the most. That's the one that's kind of always mattered the most in the history of this program and continues to do so. And if that's our jumping-off point, well, then we have to raise the standard. Then we have to judge the team a little bit differently. And one thing in the early going is that when this Canucks team is bumped into really imposing competition, we haven't seen them play their best. We haven't seen them score a clear victory against a team that's currently in a playoff spot. We haven't seen them even win in regulation, grind one out against a team of Los Angeles's caliber yet. Maybe there's some good signs to take from that Anaheim game. I certainly thought it was their most complete performance of the year. You'd think that the Canucks are coming into tonight's game with their confidence high. It should be. This is a very good team. But there's work to be done. There's work to be done in that discussion, at least from the perspective of, is this Canucks team a contender? Right? Like a convincing win in Los Angeles, given the way that Los Angeles has dusted off the like Minnesota in the second leg of a back-to-back and Vegas last week. I mean, that would be impressive, right? And I think on some level, the Canucks have played well on balance. I'm not trying to diminish that. But on some level, we've yet to see one of those signature impressive performances You know, we saw so many of them early on in the year last year. I'm not saying that this team isn't like trending just as well. In fact, I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that this team's ceiling case is higher than it was 12 months ago. But we just haven't come out of a game like this against a quality opponent and said, hey, that's what we expected from this team. That's a performance that matches what we'd hoped for, right? That next level performance, that fully grind into gear win is still like that's something this team's still looking for. Tonight's a really interesting opportunity to score a win like that against a team narrowly ahead of them in the standings, albeit not by point percentage. Just want to note that Canucks are ahead of LA by point percentage already. But currently, LA's ahead of them in the standings. If you go look up the NHL.com page, a win for the Vancouver Canucks would keep them there, or would keep the Canucks ahead of them by point percentage, vault them ahead on the more superficial NHL.com standings page that people love to cite. All right, so that's what we're expecting. The headline is Titanic Pacific Division Clash. I want to also note the Edmonton Oilers frittered one away, two Noah Hanifin goals in the last half of the third period last night. Stuart Skinner doing Stuart Skinner stuff, and Vegas was able to defeat Edmonton. I always like to track these for a couple reasons. One, those are the teams that Vancouver is going to be competing against. Two, Edmonton is now at a 464 point percentage through 14 games. Connor McDavid returned, didn't have a point, but you know, he's still Connor McDavid. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. The Oilers come to town on Saturday, so they'll be fresh off a tough regulation L to another top team in the Pacific. Just can't wait to watch that game. McDavid will be playing in Vancouver. Always exciting. And, of course, it's the first matchup between these two teams. So just wanted to recap the result there. I thought it was an interesting one from a variety of different perspectives. And just sort of further amps up in some ways the stakes, right? I mean, the Oilers having 13 points after 15 games, if the Canucks can hand them a regulation defeat in Vancouver on Saturday, that'll be notable to say the least. All right, we'll move on to the broadsheet. Quiet day in the rumor mill around the Vancouver Canucks. However, I can tell you that I'm hearing the Canucks are working the phones. They're looking for a top four defenseman. Turns out, because of the cap and other concerns, those players very hard to get. So that's today's broadsheet. Moving on to the lineup notes, there are no changes in the Canucks lineup from the one that we saw play and rather thoroughly dismantle the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday. So that means we're going to see DeBrusk play with Miller and Besser. It means Pettersson will continue to be flanked by Pew Suter and, oh my goodness, Connor Garland. It means we'll see Dan Heinen play on the left wing with Teddy Bluger in the middle and Kiefer Sherwood, the hero du jour in this city, on the right wing. Sprong, Hoglander, and Aturatu on a fourth line that should have some offensive pop. Something to watch for here. The Canucks are going to need whatever supporting offense they can get. Having that sort of skilled fourth line feels like something of an edge that could come to bear tonight against the Kings. Back end, Hughes Hronek, Myers Soucy, and DeHarnay Brännström. Lankinen will start again for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, one thing that's interesting, Dakota Joshua, who didn't practice on Wednesday and at various points was sort of expected to make his season debut on this trip, will not, in fact, play tonight. And he wasn't on the ice for the club's optional skate either, but is still around the club and was seen by reporters on the bike today at the Crypto.com arena. Now, Joshua missed practice on Wednesday and Tockett addressed it. We played it on this show yesterday. Sounds like for now, the club's just saying easing off a little bit and we'll see. I would say that I think it runs counter to our expectations going into this trip for Joshua to not debut, you know, at some point on it. So we all probably expected him to be back by now, and this is something I guess we'll continue to track. But Look, it's obviously not a conventional recovery, given that it's not a hockey injury at all, right? And so hopefully everything's good, and we'll see Joshua shortly. Certainly his size, his physicality, the identity that he's able to play with, the way that his presence would deepen this Canucks lineup, will be welcome whenever it return, whenever he's back. Would have definitely made a difference against the Kings. Joshua's fantastic, and hopefully we'll see him play shortly. Playoff odds. So because we're going to get into a Pacific Division tiers activity with Dimitri in the second hour, I figured let's go to Dom's model and let's do the projected point totals for the Pacific Division top to bottom as they stand today, Thursday, November 9th. So the Canucks are projected currently to finish with 106 points and repeat at the top of the Pacific Division per Dom Lecision's best-in-class projection model available at theathletic.com. The Edmonton Oilers are currently projected to come second at 102 points, followed up by the Vegas Golden Knights, currently on a massive heater to open the season, but with a soft underlying profile. The model is a Golden Knights skeptic and projects them to finish with 99 points, a point shy of 100 for third in the Pacific. The LA Kings, 1 point back, 98, according to theathletic.com's current projections. Flames come in next at 85, Kraken at 81, and then you have to go way down to the bottom to find the San Jose Sharks at 67 and the Anaheim Ducks at 66. I think that probably matches actually what we've seen, right? There was no reason, I think, watching the Ducks and the Sharks both play the Canucks to think that, realistically, the Ducks are better than the Sharks. The Sharks looked far more competent from an NHL caliber players up and down the lineup perspective. So interesting to just note that the model remains pretty skeptical about LA and Vegas and is far more bullish despite the perhaps more fitful start to the campaign that the Vancouver Canucks are off to. What does this reflect? This reflects what the model thinks about Vancouver's core players, right? It's factoring in that Demko will return at some point, and the model is a big believer that Demko is an elite puck stopper, as it should be. It also reflects the fact that, you know, the Kings don't have stars that the model views as being difference makers on the same level as like Pettersson or Miller or Hughes, right? And that's true, by the way. As well as Brandt Clark has played, how much more confident are you that Quinn Hughes remains an elite contributor rest of season than you are about Brandt Clark? Because you've seen it before. You should be, right? So just an interesting glimpse into, as frustrating as this Canucks start has occasionally been over the first month of the campaign, the model actually views Vancouver's rest of season outlook as being far rosier than some of the teams in and around them in the Pacific and even some of the teams ahead of them. As a mark of that, too, the gambling markets believe in the Canucks more than they believe in the Kings. Okay? The Canucks will go into tonight's game in LA as road favorites, minus 125. The Kings are plus 105 on the money line to be victorious tonight. It's a lot of respect for a Vancouver Canucks team that doesn't even have Thatcher Demko in net, right? That is a testament, I suppose, to how high the market is and how high the books are on what this Canucks team is capable of. The over-under is set at 5.5 with more steam on the over. And, you know, just as a way of sort of thinking about this, right? Thinking like pretty amazing for the Canucks to be favored on the road against a team that's performed as well as the Kings have. Pacific Division odds, right? Odds to win the Pacific Division are actually pretty interesting because while the books are still cool on LA, in some ways, they're still not giving the Canucks an undue level of respect, certainly not as much respect as Dom Lecision's model does. Currently, as of today, Thursday, November 7th, if you go look at futures odds to win the Pacific Division, Vegas actually comes out as the favorite at plus 200. Edmonton, despite a traditional slow start to the campaign, comes in second, plus 240. Canucks are in third at plus 275. The Kings at plus 300. every other team's odds are long, like 28 to 1 for the Flames, 40 to 1 for the Kraken, and 175 to 1, quite appropriately, for both the Ducks and the Sharks. So in some ways, the books are looking at this Kings start as being a mirage, somewhat fraudulent. Can the Canucks sort of confirm that tonight? Or can the Kings sort of demand that their start be taken seriously by coming out and beating Vancouver? Like, those are sort of the micro stakes of this early season Pacific Division tilt. And it's a fascinating one, not just because LA has evolved a little bit as a team. The market seems to be catching up a little slowly to just how well they're playing, I think. And to top it all off, the conservative, stodgy way that the Kings played last year gave the Canucks a lot of trouble last season. Like, that was not an opponent that Vancouver fared well against. Does that carry over this season, given sort of the way that both teams are attempting to turn the dial a little bit toward offense, loosen up in terms of playing a higher event, perhaps more volatile style of hockey, and trying to add to their ceiling by grafting some, you know, attacking dynamism onto the, you know, defensive core, the spine of what made both of these teams playoff teams in this division last season? That's a fascinating dynamic that we'll get to watch tonight when the Canucks play in Los Angeles. All right, we'll wrap up the whiteboard. We'll be back for segment two with Vancouver Giants coach Manny Viveros. It's going to be a great program for you today. Stick with us, and don't forget to use the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line to send in any questions you might have. You're listening to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.